We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank wants to know how you reward yourself, because they have cards that make every day more rewarding. Are you a points hoarder, cashback guru, low intro APR lover? With U.S. Bank, it's up to you, because they have the cards to fit your lifestyle. So earn more whether you're shopping at a gas station or grocery store, even while planning a staycation. Learn more at usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome to the RotoWire Prospect Podcast, sponsored by FanDuel. Clay Link here with lead prospect writer James Anderson. Big shout out to New Day, N-E-U-D-A-E, at New Day Music on Twitter. We appreciate the song Lion Kings. Going to be reaching out to Numi here soon to maybe switch it up, get a new track. They got a lot of hot stuff waiting for us. We're going to be talking about your latest article, James, looking at the hitters and short season and rookie ball, which, are these leagues just getting started now?
Dominican Summer League's been going for a couple weeks now. A couple of these leagues have gone, you know, four or five games under their belts, and a couple of them started yesterday. I think one might be starting this weekend. So, yeah, I mean, this is kind of right when my favorite type of season start opening up. Like I'm all about the short season guys, and like once a guy gets to high A, double A, like the book is kind of out for the most part. But this is where you can really do some shrewd in-season pickups if you're in deeper dynasty leagues.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the short season leagues are pretty fascinating. You know, we were out at Staten Island Yankees Stadium. They play like, I don't even know, like 30 some home games. Like, it's just wild that, you know, they have like a year-round staff and for just like 30-some home games. But definitely cool. We'll go through a lot of that. But before we do that, I want to talk to you a little bit about some of the tough drop decisions you're facing, because you mentioned that, you know, with the crunch on your roster, you may be forced to ditch a certain stash that you've had on the bench for a while.
Yeah, this is our stake league, an 18-team redraft league. So it's deep, but there's no keeper aspect to it. I've had Michael Kopech stashed all season long, and he is my primary drop on several pending moves I have that will run tonight. And, you know, it's just one of those situations where I tweeted today about what his K to walk looks like over his last four starts. He's got more walks than strikeouts, more walks than innings over his last four starts. And, you know, we've always known that command control were weaknesses in his game that he was going to need to improve in order to make it as a starter, at least to make it as more than just kind of a really, you know, a high whip, high strikeout, low inning starter, like kind of a Francisco Liriano type. Like he's going to need to improve the command. And it sort of seemed like he was heading down the right path with that towards the end of last season, early this season. But things have kind of gotten in the opposite direction lately. And I don't really see, barring just some kind of miracle mechanical tweak that unlocks better command that I don't think you can bet on as something that's coming anytime soon. I just don't see how he comes up and is all that productive, especially in mixed leagues in 2018.
Yeah, man. Pitching is extremely difficult, especially at the major league level. And I'm with you. It's a tough choice, especially after you've put in the time to stash for a while. But I was in a similar boat last week with Eloy Jimenez, cut him finally. You know, it's tough to do after you've wasted that spot for a while. But we did just see Eloy get bumped up to AAA today. I imagine somebody will pick him up tonight, but should they?
You know, I think you could probably justify picking him up, especially if you're a team that's kind of towards the bottom and you just really need a miracle, especially on the hitting side. I mean, if you're looking to add an impact hitter in that league off waivers, good luck to you. Mm-hmm. It's pretty slim pickings out there. But I just don't see any reason why Eloy would be up this year. I mean, they have all the cover in the world to keep him down. Like, I don't think anyone's going to be, you know, have their hands up in the air if they don't bring him up this year. The fans kind of know the deal at this point, and I'm sure they would, some of them would like to see him, but, you know, you give him 3 months at AAA, another couple weeks there to start next season, you bring him up. That's fine. It's not like you kept him there. Like, think how long the Rays kept, like, Willy Adames at AAA and stuff. Granted, yeah, they're
Honeywell,
like, different levels of talent, but keeping a guy as talented as Eloy Jimenez at AAA for, like, two-thirds of a season is perfectly acceptable, I think. So,
yeah,
it's obviously possible. I mean, he's ready. He's close to big league ready right now as it is. So I guess anything's possible, but it would not make a ton of sense given what the White Sox competitive window looks like.
Yeah, I think those White Sox fans who know who Eloy Jimenez is probably smart enough to realize the rules and realize it's probably best for the team, the organization, to keep him down. You know, it's not like their window is starting to open.
Yeah,
you know, like the Braves maybe were last year when they got Albies up.
And it's no lock that he even hits the ground running in the international league. Like, he's not, it's not like he's going to Las Vegas or Colorado Springs or something like that. He could very easily hit like 250, 260 over his first couple weeks. So, don't expect to see Eloy this year. I noticed there are some guys at AAA, like Kyle Tucker, I think is really heated up. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw him in a few weeks. Your boy Nick Senzel is heating up the dish.
Well, yeah.
But I think Senzel's kind of in that Eloy boat for me. I don't really see them getting an offer they like on Scooter Gennett at the deadline that would compel them to move him. And even then, why would you start Senzel's clock right after trading Scooter Gennett? I don't really think he's going to be up either. Kyle Tucker is probably the top position player, I think, worth stashing right now.
Yeah, especially with Senzel, like the whole vertigo thing. Just let him keep playing it. He returned like less than a month ago, right? So I don't know. I know they're still batting Peraza leadoff. I think they want to give it at least the rest of this year to see if Peraza could be something. And who knows if Senzel could even play short anyway. So is he even playing short in the minors right now?
He'd been playing second base. I'm not sure what he's been playing in his last week or so. But
looks like only one start at short this year, so that's probably not an option. Any other tough stash decisions you have to make? In Stake League, I'm going to continue right now with Austin Riley, even though he's hurt, but I think he has a good chance to come up later this year. Same with Kristen Stewart. But any other guys you're kind of just willing to throw the towel in on?
Yeah, I mean, I already cut Vlad Jr. This past weekend in TGFBI.
Yeah, I thought I was getting one over on the group in Tout Wars, then I had to cut him 2 weeks later.
Yeah, I mean, another guy, I'm sure there may be some people. I'm not stashing Luis Urias anywhere, but I'm sure there are people that are kind of holding on to him. Not sure exactly when we'll see him. I think it could, you know, wouldn't surprise me if he was up next week. Wouldn't surprise me if he wasn't up until, you know, July, August, maybe not even at all. So that's a tough one. If you're in a 15 teamer, you could probably cut bait there. I just don't see the immediate upside to warrant continuing to stash him. It's definitely not stashing season. Stashing season came and went. You know, Matt Theis is probably on the short list of guys.
Really?
Matt Theis and like Kristen Stewart, I think, are two guys that I think in deeper leagues you could still continue to stash. Theis is just red hot right now at AAA. The Angels are kind of a desperate team in terms of just trying to win right now. So that's a guy to keep in mind, but yeah, it's not a ton out there right now.
Are you interested in a Verdugo stash, or is it just because he's getting hot?
Yeah.
Too?
Oh yeah. With him, it's the playing time, right? Mm. It's just where do they find room for him?
I feel like he needs to get traded.
Yeah, they are. I think we talked about it on here. Maybe it was the XM show, but I've been kind of going through ever since the draft ended. I've been making my way through each organization and updating sort of my internal like top 30 or 40 and updating the top 20s on the site. And the Dodgers, that is a system that has really taken a hit over the past year or so. Mm-hmm. They've had a few graduations, traded some guys, had some guys really kind of flop. And yeah, they are not a, they're definitely not a top 10 system to me. They might not even be a top 15 system anymore. So if they traded Verdugo, that definitely wouldn't help in that regard. They didn't have a great draft, at least not for fantasy purposes either. So it's a pretty weak system. And they've always kind of held back on trading guys that are like top 50, top 60 type of prospects. So I don't necessarily think they will trade him, but it would certainly be nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's get into this short season / rookie level hitter index that you've got posted here, starting with the New York Penn League short season ball. Travis Swaggerty and Seth Beer, two of the top hitters from this year's draft class, of course, getting into pro action right away. And are these two the two top guys to watch in this league?
Yeah, there are some kind of more unheralded toolsy guys beneath them, but I mean, Swaggerty and Beer are both from this past draft class. Swaggerty is a potential, you know, five category contributor with plus speed, some leadoff hitter type of skills. Seth Beer is a guy that's just probably the most divisive prospect from the entire draft for fantasy purposes, because there are some people that just look at what he did at Clemson and want to translate it over and just say like he might be the best hitter in this entire class. But he's kind of a nightmare defender in the outfield and at first base. So I kind of view him as a DH only guy. And so, I mean, that just puts a ton of pressure on the bat. And I think it was kind of telling that he went where he did.
Yeah, Beer's already got some fatigue with me just given all the crappy Beer jokes on Twitter. Like, those are just, when something's too easy like that, just let it be.
I don't even think it's possible to have a good Seth Beer joke.
Yeah, it's like, oh, draft, D-R-A-U-G-H. Kid rocks, man. It's terrible.
Yeah. Well,
it's so, like the 69 thing, basically. Like, it's just stupid. It's just not funny.
Yeah, no, it's a low threshold of comedy. There are some other names. Definitely check out the piece if you're looking to make in-season pickups, because most leagues aren't going to allow you to add guys that were just drafted unless it's via a supplemental draft. But there are some toolsy guys, some interesting guys in New York Penn League, but it's definitely not one of the more talent-rich of the short season leagues we're going to be talking about.
Very interesting. I see Delvin Perez in there. Yikes. Former SKL 2. Farmhand. Boy, oh boy. Northwest League, also short season. Really the main guy, the only guy we really need to discuss here, Julio Pablo Martinez. Check this out for yourself, though, if you want to get really deep and get to know some of these low-level hitters. Rotowire.com/pod for a free 10-day trial. But Julio Pablo Martinez is an interesting guy, of course, signed pretty recently officially. 22, so he's pretty old for the level. Are you expecting him to just kind of tear it up?
He better. Yeah. I mean, if he struggles at all at Spokane, then we've got trouble. He really should. And I think the Rangers expect him to quickly force a promotion to a full season league. The only thing he can really do here is hurt himself in terms of his Dynasty League stock. So if he rakes, that was expected. I'm not really going to move him, assuming he does what he's expected to do. I'm not going to move him up a ton on the top 400 until he gets to a full season league and demonstrates a pretty quality approach. Like I want to see him make contact at a high clip while doing damage, especially if he goes to low A, high A. Like he's 22. He's a high pedigree guy. He's played in Cuba for a while. Like he should be able to do damage at those levels without striking out a ton. And if he does that, then I'll start to climb him up the top 400 a little bit.
Nice. Yeah. I think I saw some of the videos like that Baseball America tweeted out, and he, you know, just at a glance looks like a pretty impressive hitter, but we'll see how he fares at this low level. Yeah. If he doesn't like just come out blistering hot, that's not a great sign. Appalachian League rookie ball, Wander Franco. He got off to a pretty bad start. Obviously, they just started playing two games, but I feel like Franco is a guy that he was the number one international prospect, J2 class last year. But I feel like he was kind of a guy that was fluctuating on your top 400. Am I mistaken there?
I think so.
Mainly just because other guys were jumping him.
Yeah, I mean, so I talked to somebody who's kind of in the loop on what Franco's looked like in extended spring training, and he apparently looked just amazing. Oh, and it's telling. Like, you can tell Wander Franco had a good extended spring training because the Rays didn't start him in the Dominican Summer League or even the Gulf Coast League as a 17-year-old. They sent him straight to the Appy League. The last guy that can even kind of touch his pedigree that the Rays have had on the international market was Jose Rodon from a few years ago. And he ended up being a bust, but he was a top two or three guy from that J2 class. They started him in the GCL. So this is kind of uncharted territory for the Rays to be this aggressive with a 17-year-old and send him to the Appy League, which is, there's guys, you know, that can spin a breaking ball, locate their fastball in that league. It's going to be a challenge for him, but the fact that they are that confident, I mean, this is such a conservative org. The fact that they're that confident in him really sort of speaks to how well he's looked since signing. Big riser on the last update. He's up inside the top 60 now, I think, just because, you know, if you're trying to trade for him right now, it's going to cost you. You're going to have to pay a lot for a guy that hasn't proven really anything in games, but the payoff could be a guy that finishes the season as a top 15 or so prospect for Dynasty Leagues if he really hits. And kind of the same thing on the guy who's right behind him, Everson Pereira. Franco was the top guy from last year's J2 class. Pereira was, according to some outlets, the number two or the number three guy. And he didn't really seem like a guy at the time that had the type of exciting, loud tools that fantasy owners should be excited about. But He's also 17. The Yankees are jumping him over some of the easier rookie leagues, sending him straight to the Appy League. I think that's a really good sign. So he's another big riser on my list. If these guys produce, if they hit and do some damage in the Appy League, they're going to just shoot up the list even further. So now would be the time to add them. I think that this is, I think you can probably still pick up Pereira in a lot of leagues. Franco's obviously owned, but 17-year-old guys don't typically get assigned to this league, and they've got the pedigree to match. Pereira's got a chance to be a five-category guy. Franco's probably not going to run much, but he could be a big-time average and power guy. So definitely monitor what those two guys do over the next couple of months.
Yeah, absolutely. A quick note from our sponsor, Fantasy Baseball Fans. With baseball season comes FanDuel, offering the most exciting ways to play fantasy baseball no matter what you're looking for. FanDuel, the excitement of fantasy baseball without the full season grind. Something for everyone. Tons of different contests and formats to choose from, starting at just 25 cents. Just pick a contest, choose your team, and enjoy watching your results in real time. We got our final RotoWire Baseball Championship tourney, I guess you could call it, last night. How did you end up faring in that final one, James?
Not well. I went with Charlie Morton, who was the kind of the chalk play, I guess you could say, on last night's slate. And he was okay. My hitters, I don't think, really did anything. I wasn't really paying that much attention to how my team was doing once I sort of saw that I wasn't going to cash.
Yeah, I remember, I don't know, I had some parts of the Coors game, but not the right parts. So I didn't, I think I may have finished top like eight or so, but didn't see exactly how it ended up. I had Morton too. He seemed like the clear option. Nobody really else, just given how the games were broken up last night, not a lot of great options in the night slate. But you can still, of course, play on FanDuel, even though the RotoWire Baseball Championship is over. Play against your friends for bragging rights or play against the public for millions in cash prizes. Take advantage of our special offer for new users. Sign up today at FanDuel.com/RW. You'll get a free six-month RotoWire subscription, which will help give you all the tools you need to be successful with your first deposit on FanDuel. Just visit FanDuel.com/RW, void where prohibited. Nolan Gorman, also in the Appy League. He was, of course, kind of one of the big power prospects from this year's draft class. And one other guy, Mark Vientos, he was a guy that I considered in the RotoWire Dynasty Invitational. He was a guy that just kind of was waiting around, was borderline top 100 guy on your list at the time that I was considering at several turns, didn't end up getting him, but is he still a guy that you have really high hopes for?
Yeah, he's got a lot of upside. He's still 18. He was drafted over a year ago and won't turn 19 until December. So you can almost think of him as kind of a J2 type of guy because he was so young for last year's draft class. There's probably going to be some growing pains, I would think, initially in the Appy League for him, but 6'4", 185 pounds, really projectable frame, kind of, you know, he looks like he's going to turn into one of those just kind of prototypical looking third basemen, playing shortstop right now, but I think he's going to move to third base. A lot of power potential, but it might be a bit more of a slow burn with him.
Nice. Yeah, I wish I'd popped him instead of Chris Cease.
Yeah, well,
that would have been nice. Still have him on the roster, got to turn that over. I ended up dropping Sheldon Noisy instead, man. I didn't notice that Noisy had been dropped off your 400 entirely.
Yeah, yikes. That's kind of the rule with guys like that.
DH guy who can't hit.
I mean, if you're not hitting, then I don't have any time for you. And he still hasn't hit his first homer of the year.
Really?
67
isn't he
games.
In the PCL, too?
Yeah. I mean, that whole Nashville team has been underperforming, and somebody on Twitter maybe suggested that there might be some sort of correlation to just all of them sucking, but it's the PCL. Like, give me a theory as to what it could be. Like, cause yeah, I don't,
it's not like he's doing anything else. Like, it's not like he's hitting for average or getting on base.
And, we talked last week about sometimes you just gotta adjust quickly on the fly. And this is a guy that pretty much all he'd done at every stop. I mean, moved so quickly too. 77 games at low A, 22 games at high A, 18 games at double A. Maybe he was moved too aggressively, but he was just raking at every stop. He raked in the Arizona Fall League. just seemed like a guy that was gonna hit his way to a big league role. And when you don't have any defensive value, you don't have any speed or anything like that going for you, and you're not hitting in the PCL as a 23-year-old, then I think you can cut bait on a guy.
Yeah, I thought I was with you. I thought it was pretty good last year in the fall league, but yeah, you just there's no reason to be patient with a guy with that who's that far down on the defensive spectrum. I just don't see it at all. By the way, I just noticed the final name here that you listed in the Appy League, Cash Case, Reds hey, prospect.
Go Reds.
I can get behind him.
Barely included him. I thought about not including him, but I was just like, well, I already typed it out, you know, I guess.
Well, hell, with that name, I mean, you got to include him. Kevin Maiton, big boy, ballooned up after the issue with the Braves, where, of course, they had to give up his rights as part of their discipline for violating international free agent rules. Was held back, you know, 2 months, extended spring, just to work on the conditioning, get back into shape. But he's been hot to start. Is this a situation where, you know, he's 18 years old, you can kind of give him a mulligan, or are you a little concerned about the weight gain?
Well, he has such a such a small margin for error now with the bat. You know, the body's just, it's kind of the exact opposite of where you want it to be for an 18-year-old, especially given sort of how quick twitch and just loose and athletic he looked in like the videos that were kind of circling when he signed a couple of years ago. He just looked kind of like a premium athletic specimen as like a 16-year-old. Now he just kind of looks like he's sort of trending in my direction with the physicality, the wrong kind of mine, physicality. Yeah. But you know, he's as soon as I moved him off the top 400, he just went out to Pioneer League and just started raking. So maybe that was just the kick in the butt that he needed to get bumped from the RotoWire top 400. If you own him in a dynasty league, you can thank me personally on Twitter if you want. Obviously, we want to see this over a much larger sample than 5 games, but good start to the season for Kevin Maiton. I hope that he's able to turn it around and at least make good on some of that upside he flashed as amateur.
Yeah, Kevin Maiton revenge season.
Yeah, this is the revenge tour. It's official.
Yeah, he was keeping a close eye on that rank, and he said, man, James Anderson is going to eat his words.
People
here
are starting to make fun of my body. I'll show them.
Anybody else in the Pioneer League that's worth mentioning?
A lot of names just kind of worth keeping an eye on, but nobody that's really a household name just yet.
In the Arizona League, you said it's pretty stacked this year, headed by Christian Robinson. What kind of tools does he bring to the table?
So in this article, just like I did last year, I try to say the top tool for each guy. And Robinson's just got so many tools, it was really tough to pick which one to list. I went with power just because physically he projects as a guy that's going to be a 30-plus homer guy. I mean, he's a real athlete. He's not just like a baseball athlete. Like, he's legit. He's a plus-plus runner, 6'3", just really yoked. I assume he's going to slow down a little bit when he gets to, you know, 19, 20, 21. And I think he's going to develop some more over-the-fence pop by then. So that's why I went with power. But, I mean, he's got, like, 30-30 upside. He's just so tooled up, really exciting. Moved him and the next guy on this list inside the top 100 just because I think that's kind of the going rate for them right now in Dynasty Leagues. A lot of excitement surrounding Christian Robinson. And, you know, there might be some swing and miss with him just because typically with that type of physicality at a young age, you know, you sometimes your tools arrive before your baseball skills do. So I wouldn't be surprised if he struck out quite a bit this year, but I still expect him to put up pretty decent numbers.
Nice. Well, before we get back to the Arizona League, quick note, baseball fans, listen up, take all of your baseball knowledge and start playing the new head-to-head social challenge game, Face Off. Face Off is the only head-to-head social challenge game on the market offering real Vegas odds. Face Off allows you to challenge your friends or strangers on sporting events. Here's how you play. Challenge your friends, climb the leaderboard, play the skill game and win real prizes. Faceoff is truly one of a kind and the go-to place for baseball fans looking to make the games more fun this summer. Use promo code ROTOMLB to get a special offer of 15 face-off chips, social challenges, Vegas odds, real prizes. Visit gofaceoff.com today. James, Trent DeVoe in the Angels system, and we talked about how the Angels are squeezing a lot out of their prospects right now, really doing a good job with player development. Obviously, DeVoe hasn't really played much, so just one game actually to date, 2-for-5. So you know we don't really know what the development staff has done with him, but are the raw tools enough to land him pretty high on your list?
Yeah, he's another guy that crept inside the top 100 just because there's just so much excitement surrounding him right now. Kind of, you know, I went with he's kind of like Robinson in that I could have really picked any tool. I mean, he's got a chance to be a 5-category contributor, but he's a real burner right now, at least a 70 grade runner. So I went with run on him, but he's got a, you know, really kind of electric actions, could develop 20 plus homer power and, you know, 30 plus steal speed. So just another really, really exciting toolsy outfielder. You know, one of these top four guys in the AZL, I would bet has such an impressive summer that they get into or at least close to the top 20 by the end of the season. I mean, this is where your kind of next crop of top tier prospects is going to come from.
Nice. Well, Alexander Canario of the Giants system, one of the better hitters in the Dominican Summer League last year. What are you expecting for an encore?
I expect him to keep hitting. He doesn't have quite Robinson or DeVoe's speed upside. I mean, he stole 18 bases on 28 attempts last year in the DSL, but I think a lot of people expect him to eventually slow down a little bit, kind of more of a corner outfield type of guy. Those other two, you hope that they can stick in center, but Canario is more of a corner guy, but you really just hope that he hits and just keeps hitting. We've seen with guys like Juan Soto, Vlad Jr., you don't need to be a burner to be an elite prospect. Canario's got a long way to go in that regard, obviously just making his stateside debut this year. And, you know, righty-righty guys that are destined for a corner obviously have to hit at every stop, but he's got a chance to be another special one if he kind of picks up where he left off last year.
It's George Valera up next here on the Arizona League list. Hit tool is the top tool you say here, but anything else that he does that's maybe borderline plus?
Well, I think everyone just kind of is assuming that because of how pretty his swing is and how much contact everyone expects him to make, that there will be probably, you know, at least 55, maybe plus power there at some point too. He's not much of a runner, or at least doesn't project to be when he gets to the big leagues, but could be at least a plus hit tool and could be plus power to go with it. So another guy that could really shoot up the list if he, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he hit like 330 and struck out less than 20% of the time in the AZL. And if he does that, then he's going to be at least like a top 40 or 30 prospect by the end of the year.
Nice. Xavier Edwards, we talked about last week, I believe it was, maybe 2 weeks ago. We did our draft recap. You're really high on him from a fantasy perspective, just given the speed. Anybody else, though, that you want to mention here from the Arizona League?
You know, I listed Quinton Holmes, who the Indians drafted last year, as the sixth best guy in here from a ceiling perspective, but he's incredibly risky. There are, you know, the rest of this list, there are some sort of more floor than ceiling types. I kind of feel that way about Jeremiah Jackson, who the Angels drafted this year. Luis Verdugo is a middle infield prospect the Cubs signed in the J2 period last year. I think he's got a chance to break out. Doesn't have quite the ceiling as those top four outfielders we talked about, but he's a guy that could be a plus hitter. Some guys that have just a ton of speed lower down the list, some guys with big power, questionable hit tools. Just a little bit of everything in the AZL. That's typically one of the more talent-rich leagues. I think largely just because it's by a lot of teams' spring training complexes, so they can have sort of more staff on hand to sort of help these guys with their development. But yeah, I mean, there's just a ton of talent to see if you live in Arizona right now.
Alec Baum was another guy that we talked about, of course, from this draft class. 21 years old, so are you expecting him to get a look with another higher, you know, more advanced affiliate pretty soon here?
Yeah, this was a pretty surprising assignment for me, at least. I'm sure there are people that weren't surprised by it, but third overall pick in the draft out of college, bat first guy, you'd think he'd be able to just head straight to low A. So I really don't expect him to be in the GCL for more than a week or two. And like, you can just kind of like we were talking about with a little earlier, like just given his age, if he does anything other than rake in the GCL, then you can be a little concerned. If he hits like 500 with five homers and 10 games there, like you shouldn't really even bat an eye because he should be doing that.
Yeah, definitely. Freudis Nova was a guy that was, you were pretty high on coming in, of course, just now getting underway with the live action. But hits, does he maybe provide some speed? Because, you know, ideally I like a little speed from my middle infielders. Is Nova going to be a guy who chips in there?
Yeah, I think he could be a, you know, maybe a borderline 2020 guy if he maxes out. Not going to be like game changing speed, but he could chip in like 15 to 25 bases, especially early on. He really, you know, I think he's going to hit. This was, you know, I sort of expected us to maybe see him assigned a bit more aggressively than this. I think if he hits over like 3 or 4 weeks in the GCL, I think they will challenge him with a more advanced level. But this potential five category contributor at shortstop.
Nice. Some other guys from the recent draft, but anybody else in this league that you want to touch on?
This is another one, just like the AZL, ton of talent here. Lots of guys from last couple J2 classes, last draft class. You can check out the list, but I mean, it's another very talent rich league.
I don't really recognize any of these names from the Dominican Summer League. Anybody you want to tell us about?
Yeah. So I think people that follow the July 2 stuff know who like Danny Diaz and Julio Rodriguez are, but the two guys that are just really, really hitting right now in the Dominican Summer League are Miguel Giraldo, who I mentioned in a article last week as a big riser up the top 400. He's just on a tear right now in the DSL. He's not striking out. He's making, he's walking, he's hitting for power, he's hitting for average. If he's not already scooped up in your dynasty league, he should be. I moved him inside the top 200 today, as a 17-year-old who's forever away. He's just been so impressive early on. And then Carlos Rodriguez, outfield prospect in the Brewers system, sort of seemed like a, you know, they had two big J2 signings last year, Larry Ernesto, who's kind of a big cleanup hitting type of outfielder, and then Carlos Rodriguez, who's like 5'10", skinnier, but has really good approach, really good bat to ball, and he's really putting that on display so far. I think he's hitting over 400 in the early going. Probably not going to be much of a power guy, but could be at least a plus hit tool. I think he's a plus runner, at least right now. So that's another guy for deeper leagues. If you missed out on a guy like Miguel Giraldo, you missed out on some of those AZL outfielders, Carlos Rodriguez is a guy to keep in mind as a potential add.
Very nice. Well, we appreciate it. Great stuff as always. Check out the article for yourself. And, of course, the recently updated top 400 prospect rankings at rotowire.com. James, we are on to, I believe, number 9 on our countdown of the top hip-hop collaborations, and I have a bit of a controversial entry.
Uh-oh.
In this. No, it's not at all, but it's a song that's somewhat newer, 2012 jam, and it's really kind of become one of my summer anthems. You know, I've been listening to this in the car quite a bit lately on a mix, and I've really settled on this being one of my favorite summertime jams out there. Zero and Slim Thug, song aptly titled Summertime. A really, really good jam. I didn't hear this until just a couple years ago. It did come out in 2012. You know, Slim Thug, not the best verse, but I think this is one of, you know, between him and Zero, a standout effort for the two of them. Combining Zero with, you know, some singing that he does, but mostly rapping. Really good song. Have you heard that one?
I have not, but I'm all about summertime anthems, man. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, it's
a great genre of hip hop.
Exactly. It just makes you feel good. You know, you're driving in the sun, just feeling really good.
You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of, like, I think it was probably like 6 or 7 years ago now, but when a Texas Rangers beat writer voted like Michael Young as like second or third for MVP or something like that.
Yeah, this is similar. This is, I say it's controversial because, you know, having a Zero track, Zero and Slim Thug track, top 10 collabs of all time. Expect to catch some pushback. Like
that's a local beat writer vote if I've ever seen one.
Yeah, I'm a Southern guy, not really Ohio, but so this is definitely like a regional bias bleeding in, but what do you got, James?
I got kind of a boring one. You already mentioned it in your top 20. It's Regulate, Warren G, Nate Dogg.
Had to be in there, yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's one that I've just played to death. You know, it's a good option if you're doing karaoke and you're drunk and you get put on the spot. I mean, everyone knows the words to Regulate. You know, I actually considered a different Warren G and Nate song, Nobody Does It Better, off of Nate Dogg's double disc studio album debut. But I felt like that would just be kind of a little too like hipstery. Like, nobody likes Nobody Does It Better more than Regulate. It's just that I haven't played Nobody Does It Better like thousands of times for myself over the years, so I'm not quite as tired of it. But yeah, I mean, I don't listen to Regulate like on purpose anymore. It's kind of like nothing but a G thing.
Just
but
a party song.
It's still like, you know, when I heard it for like the first 800, 900 times, it was pretty elite. So I can't deny how good it was, even if it is a little bit overplayed by me personally.
Yeah, I'd say maybe the defining video of like the 90s.
Yeah.
Like, that music video is just so iconic. R.I.P. Nate Dogg, of course. And, you know, I typically hate when somebody, you know, people are like, let me show you this thing on YouTube. Like, let me just show you this. But I do appreciate somebody recently showed me the Sesame Street version of Regulate. It's pretty damn funny. Somehow somebody, I don't know, with way too much time on their hands, went through and found like clips of Sesame Street where the, you know, the hand movements of the puppets synced up perfectly with Regulate. It is pretty damn funny.
Well, but I can promise you things are going to start getting, they're going to start getting a little interesting. The top eight still to go here.
Yeah, I know mine next week is a song that you already did, so that'll be kind of boring.
But. Oh, okay. Well, you know, after I got Nothing But a G Thing and Regulate out the way, you know, I think there might be a few tracks that people are going to be able to predict that are coming, but I think some of the other ones might surprise some people.
Nice. Well, that'll do it for us on the RotoWire Prospect Podcast, brought to you by FanDuel. Appreciate it, James. We'll talk to you guys next week.